Hello, everyone, and welcome to the F This Movie commentary track for Pieces. Happy Scary Movie Month 2016. My name is Patrick Bromley from FThisMovie.net, and as is our tradition, I am joined by Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Adam Risky.
Happy Halloween.
And JB.
Hello.
We are now looking at Boston, 1942.
This kid looks like the kid at the beginning of Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Sure.
It's very The Wall-esque.
His sweater vest doesn't match his shirt, so I call bullshit.
And the mother looks a little bit like Belinda Bolansky.
Which I have no problem with.
And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put the pieces together.
Who couldn't finish that? He was like searching for pieces. Meanwhile, there's like four pieces missing. They just happen to be the vagina, by the way.
He's not good with anatomy.
Which nine-year-old Mike would have started with.
By the way, there have to be easier ways to masturbate. I really want to.
Well, it's a puzzle.
Spank it, but
it's about the journey with this kid.
It took him 2 weeks allowance. He's just like, man, that's Saturday when right? It comes.
I got a 500 piecer. This is going to be so satisfying.
Yep.
I think that's what I'm going to start calling masturbation from now on, a 500 piecer.
It would have been great if she's just like, what are you doing? He just threw the pieces in the air and he's like, you're delusional. There's nothing here.
She's really upset about the dirty puzzle, by the way.
Yeah, and she's going through all this stuff. And
finding anything else dirty.
No, and the first time I saw this, I reached an odd
conclusion. Which was yesterday.
That seems to be a normal jigsaw puzzle, and that's like a roadmap or something. That's not... that none of this is pornographic. So the only conclusion I reached is the following.
Oh!
Don't you know, Mom, that some of those will be valuable collector's items in the future that I can sell on eBay? So this is what you get.
This is what you get, kid. I was waiting for your Boston accent.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
It's going to come out. This whole movie takes place in Boston, so every time I watch it, you fucked up my puzzle, Mike!
My favorite of the fake Boston things is when it looks like they took tape and wrote Boston Medical Hospital on the side of that truck, which we'll see in a little bit. Yeah, that looks like an ambulance.
I got this movie all wrong because I thought the following scenes would be this kid in therapy with Robin Williams, because I thought that's what happens to every criminal in Boston.
My fucking ma is hard to cut up, kid.
And he's just like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. He's like, it kind of was, kid.
This picture was clearly taken in the 1970s, right? We can all agree that that is not a picture of a woman from 1942 or 1941.
Yeah, no, good point.
Oh, good point.
Thank you. I'm like a fucking sleuth when it comes to pieces.
That shit would have been black and white in 41, kid.
They didn't even have color vagina.
Now, when you say vagina, do you mean pagina?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my theory about the film, and we'll see if it plays out during the film. even though this film is called Pieces, yeah. I think a better title would have been Doors. As the film goes on, notice how many things revolve around doors.
All right. Yeah.
What if it was called Pieces, .. of ass?
Up. Here's a door. Ah, whoa. See? Doors. And then slowly
that
on the soundtrack.
That mustache does not look real.
Slowly on the soundtrack. Hello. This is because I love you, won't you tell me your name?
The movie was shot in Spain.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was not actually shot in Boston, no.
If you look closely, you can see Penelope Cruz just walking through the background of every shot.
By the way, not for one second do they question this kid. They're just like,
no.
He was hiding in the closet. He had nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm. A child could not do this.
That guy's mustache is awesome.
Plus, as I was watching this, even the interiors somehow scream, this is not Boston.
I love the credits text. That's just good font.
I love everything about this movie.
The infamous dripping font.
Mm-hmm. This is directed by Juan Simon, who also made Slugs, which is not as entertaining as this movie.
Paul Smith. Edmund Perdomo. Linda Day. And again, we were having a conversation earlier. For a time, she was going by Linda Day George, because in real life, she was married to...
Christopher George.
But for some reason in the credits of this, She does not go by Linda Day George. She was on TV a lot in the 70s.
She was on Mission Impossible, wasn't she?
Yes.
You know, our best friend Cam. We went to college with him.
That is a pretentious... Hello, this Cam's is Cam. I'm here to do the music for the pieces.
Why do you assume that a Spanish film would hire a German?
Because he has... By the way, I wish these two mated and just became Dick Shadow. there's a rumor, and I've heard it confirmed as yes, and I've heard it confirmed as no.
That dicks do cause shadows.
That mine does. You got a big dick, Shadow Kid. Okay, hold on real quick. Can you think of another horror movie? One that doesn't start in, like, the 1800s. Like, Monster Squad starts mm-hmm. in, like, the 1800s and then jumps to the present day. Can you think of another one that jumps 40 years? Like, 10 years, sure. Mm-hmm. Unless you're talking different century. I can't think of a horror movie that jumps 40 years.
I can established think of one. It plays Which the long one? Game.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. Think about it.
Is it 40 years? I guess it might only be 40 years.
There's a big span.
Because the movie also takes place in olden times.
You are the devil's concubine! You are the devil's pumps!
This guy does everything slow.
Well, you know.
Including put a puzzle together that he clearly already has mostly put together. Because he's putting together... 6 or 7 pieces at a time?
As I'm watching
this... My mother's shoes.
As I'm watching this, I'm thinking...
What is going on?
The scene where the mother's chopped up...
Yes.
...is so fast... Yes. ...and so expensive...
Yes.
...that we have to slow it down now. Because and also show clips from that to remind
me... Yeah, we remember what she was wearing. It was 5 minutes ago in our time. It was... 40 years ago. His time.
That the filmmakers realize that if they're going to go at the pace of the original killing, they're going to go over budget. So that's why this is nice
and a picture of his mom so he can remember who he murdered.
We have 88 minutes to fill.
This movie is insane, and I love it for being insane. And Mike and I watched it last October, right? And I feel like decided pretty much that night. Oh, we need to talk about this.
Yeah. I need to ask you about this.
Pretty much decided that night. Like, oh, this will be next year's commentary.
During the credits.
Yeah. So yeah, here we have the girl on the skateboard who's going to comically crash through a plane of glass.
Which is something in comedies, really.
Pane of glass.
That the workmen are carrying the glass and then something comes by and breaks it.
Right.
Like, so I get this because... This is a character in the film, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Wait.
But...
She's a character in the film?
Yeah, I don't think she shows up.
No. This is it.
Then I'm horribly confused.
This is the first and last time...
Boom. Okay, and somehow that has something to do with that.
But I don't think it does.
Well, then I'm either way confused, or in a couple minutes, I will have realized something that you guys didn't.
Okay.
Because... The skateboarding girl is on screen for such a short amount of time. Oh, see, I thought that was her.
No, she just hit glass. Why would she be studying?
That's why I was so confused. So that's not skateboard girl.
No.
Well, wait.
Wait a minute. Maybe it is.
I think it might be.
What?
So I was confronted with, is the killer imagining a death that doesn't happen because the mirror was shattered by the mom? And now... The killer's actually acting on it and really killing her. That the plate glass mirror is a fantasy.
Is this movie brilliant?
Yeah.
No. I'm serious. That's her.
No, I think you're right.
So.
Just getting beheaded in. That shot with the sun behind him is actually really awesome.
Yeah.
So it's not a movie without value. By the way, this movie has nothing but value.
So I actually got it right.
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, here's a joke that Jan was making as we were watching it last night. The guy in the middle.
Governor Mike Pence?
That he's the one making the sound of the phone because the Foley they use for the phone is so bad. And that's his little trick that he stands there and gets the secretary to answer the phone. And it's really
that's
no one.
On the right there. Oh, hello. I'm the dean. I've never killed anyone.
Really?
Puzzle? So in the middle is Christopher George,
yes.
who if you're a fan of garbage exploitation movies, is a hero because he's in Grizzly and he's in The Exterminator. He is the guy who taught me how to cook a hot dog with just a fork and an electrical socket.
He kills because he has to, yeah. Not because he wants
and
to.
And perhaps most famously in Lucio Fulci's City of the Living Dead, a.k.a. Gates of Hell. And Matt Sollenberger, a frequent reader of our site and commenter, once coined him human cigarette Christopher George. And it is the funniest description of him. We need to talk about this guy.
Yeah, and he's stylized in a way. He's stylized differently than anyone else in the film. Yeah. So I kept saying that he looks like he wants to say, I have to take my jacket to the cleaners to get it depilled.
He's like if John Waters was playing Mr. Furley. And he just is a creep.
And clearly, they're... Do we want to engage in spoilers?
Yeah, we might as well. I'm hoping people have seen this. Or...
Clearly, they're playing a game with, is it him? Is it him? Is it her? Is it him?
Is it me?
But they paint him in such an odd way, and part of it's the actor.
Yes, the dubbing.
The joke I kept making is that everyone who encounters him, hold on, I'm waiting for the reverse shot. Everyone in this film who encounters him,
she's wearing a Thor helmet.
Here it comes. Everyone in the film who encounters him asks him to take off the fake mustache. That it's fooling no one. And then later, much later in the film, we find out he's gay. And that's supposed to have something to do with it. And then the dean says,
then why
this,
was he checking out that student's boobs?
No. See, I think that's the practical joke. The students know he's gay. And she was trying to make him feel uncomfortable.
Got it.
To say, because he kept refusing to take the bait.
Got it.
And the kids know that, and they're making fun of him.
The guy on the left right now is thinking about how he's against a woman's right to choose.
And by that you mean a woman's right to choose how she will be dismembered.
Christopher George looks more to me like... if Ray Liotta did a Dr. Zaius makeup test.
All right. Christopher George is such a weird choice for a leading man in so many movies.
And in this film particularly, when we get to the police station, he's got, I assumed it had something to do with translating it into English or something. He's got all these weird lines and weird motivations. Here's this kid. We think the kid's a suspect. He's not. I just know. He's going to help us.
He literally says, like, I'd lay my life on it or something. He met the kid 5 fucking minutes ago, but he's like, I'd die for this kid. And then, but such is the power of Kendall over everyone, apparently.
Kendall. I mean, Kendall slays ass and he's awesome.
Everyone is into Kendall. I remember when we watched it, just being like, how does Kendall do it?
Well, compared to the other guys on campus that I've seen, there's no other beefcakes other than Kendall.
You know what I'm thinking? And later we're going to see evidence of this. What does Kendall have that no one else has? A circumcised penis.
Not for long.
Oh, you grabbed my fucking jacket.
We're seeing a pattern here of the films that Patrick chooses. I'm thinking of this and Sleepaway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm all
There's
about,
a definite thread.
I'm all about them dicks.
Also, is it the director, is it the screenwriter, or is it Christopher George's... Is it Christopher George's addiction? What is it with Christopher George in this movie and the cigar?
This is like my fucking Rat Pack right here.
Fake John Waters, human cigarette, Governor Mike Pence. If only the gays wouldn't get married. Christopher George is 65% tar.
I don't mean to be a buzzkill.
I'd give my life for that kid. That sounds too much like Nick Nolte.
That's total Nolte.
How did Christopher George die?
Cancer.
Was it?
Yep.
Like lung cancer?
I didn't read that far in IMDb.
You just saw cancer.
You got to cancer.
It said open parentheses, cancer, close parentheses. And I'm like, done. And well, then I was, shut off my phone.
If it was lung cancer, that makes the human cigarette joke that much funnier. Oh, Patrick's doing the chainsaw grind.
Yeah. This character's name is Red. Red Herring.
Ooh, here's someone I can pin everything on.
That's, what's his name? Paul Smith?
Paul Smith.
Yeah, Paul L. Smith from Popeye.
Or as we call him, Bluto. Now, here's something I may have missed the first time through. Gentlemen, help me out here.
Yes!
Didn't he play Stromboli in Pinocchio?
That's an animated cartoon. But Stromboli does look just like him. Is the character supposed to be feeble-minded?
I don't think so.
I think so.
What is Paul Smith doing? I love the thing where he's constantly saying things and glaring at people as they walk away. Like, every time someone walks away, he's like...
Just having sex in broad daylight.
Well,
cut
I went
to the puzzle.
I went to U of I in the 80s, and
that's what it was like.
You saw that everywhere. You would just turn and...
I love that he insists on doing the puzzle with the gloves on. Because it really does complicate things. More than once, he really seems to be having a hard time getting a piece in, and they don't get a second take. They're not like, "Ah, wait, maybe we should go again." They just, and that's the director's hands doing all the stuff with the gloves, which is like a real Argento move. Argento always played the hands in all of his movies. So,
and they keep cutting back to that so often. I began to think they used to have
commercials.
They used to have commercials for Playtex Living Gloves where they would show you all the things you can do with them. And it's like, and you can make a puzzle with the gloves on. You can pick up a
chainsaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Kill your mom.
He made a jacket out of my Afghan.
Oh, and why not do a set? Does that, remind me, does that come into play later?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Oh, there we go. That's okay.
It comes into play right then.
Right, literally 2 seconds afterwards.
Plus, I don't know if you noticed.
This is one of the shots that I like, though. There's a couple, like, longer shots that I actually think are kind of cool.
Is that Cher?
Yeah. That's Andrea Martin on the right.
If I can turn back time. The shot of him throwing the thing away and missing the garbage can?
Yeah.
And then almost immediately, the black figure reaching down. In terms of the space
racist,
they establish with the editing, it's impossible. In the next shot, after he grabs it, he would be in the shot.
Right. But no one suspects him.
Well, he
He's
had to be in the
dean.
Library. I mean, the kid didn't throw it that
These
far.
These boots were made for swimming. Have you ever seen anyone get ready for swimming like this?
This is exactly the way I get ready for swimming.
It takes a really long time.
I don't usually watch people get ready for swimming, so I don't really have much of an answer to that.
Well, I often watch myself when I get ready for swimming, and I try to peel off my jeans and leave my little thong on, because that's sexy. And I always leave the boots on, because that makes it harder to get your pants on.
Real talk. Wait till they cut back to her. Okay. Does anyone miss Doug? He texted me earlier and said, if you're recording, say that I say hi. So Doug says hi, everyone.
Doug says hi, and it's at this point that he would have a funny, pithy comment.
Exactly. Or a boner.
Yeah, I was going to say, or he'd tell us to shut up.
We really don't need to see her put the swimsuit on, and or take the clothes off, I guess I should say, in real time.
Again, we have 88 minutes to fill. Yeah. Or as I like to say, 88 minutes to kill. Ha! Patrick?
Yes.
What are those?
Boobies.
Why would she throw her top in the water?
It makes no sense.
If she didn't want to get it wet.
But because like, why didn't
who she knows? The wants, shadow knows.
She I want to talk about that real quick because I thought, I'm like, hey, this is so weird because that guy looks like the shadow. And then I saw that it was deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Right. It was like, they're doing it. It was accused at the time of sort of being a riff on a giallo movie because that's often how they're dressed. In fact, if you switch out the black mask for a white one, it's blood and black lace, right? But... No, Juan Simon says, no, it was the shadow.
There's one shot.
It's fucking Lamont Cranston, kid.
There's one shot where we see it through a window of a door, and it looks like Darkman. Now, take a look at this.
Yes.
It's been so long since I've been trapped in a butterfly net, but wouldn't this be easy to escape?
I'm almost positive if you just put your head underwater,
yeah,
you would be free and not dead.
Does that mean she's a butterfly?
Yes.
And butterflies are free to fly. Fly away. Hide away. Bye-bye.
So the movie is very sleazy.
Yes.
No. So not really.
So much nudity, so much gratuitous gore, so many chainsaws. Like, there has to be an easier way to kill people than a chainsaw. My favorite moment is later when he kills the, spoilers, I guess, the dancer in the elevator, and he's hiding a chainsaw behind his back.
Yeah. Yeah. They show him getting into an elevator with a chainsaw.
The
as
best.
If, as he, if he's practiced it.
He hides it behind his back, though, so she doesn't see it.
Also, why doesn't she just roll into the pool?
Here comes,
oh god,
this is Barb from Stranger Things. Internet sensation Barb.
Yeah, because people will latch on to anything.
What is this character's name?
Hold on.
Friend of Kendall?
Dipshit.
He's like maybe my favorite character in the movie, because he's the worst. Hold on, he has a great name. I'll have it for you. In just 1 second. Alistair Schwartz.
That's the character's name?
Yep.
Okay, so Alistair is now sharing with Kendall that his hobbies are making model airplanes and masturbating.
All he's missing is an inhaler.
Once again, might I suggest this film should have been called Doors?
You can suggest it, but Pieces is just too brilliant.
No, it's amazing how often this film does the door trope. Oh, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to take this on the bus and I'm going to tell them it's apples.
He doesn't have to go home.
It's a bag of
apples.
He
lives in his office.
It's apples, I tell you. Just a bag of apples. How do you like I was
them
just
apples,
at the orchard.
For real, why does everything take such a long time?
Because they actually have very little story. There's another door.
Maybe it's arthritis.
They could have fit in many more murders. Or kung fu but instructors.
But every time there's a murder.
Girls on skateboards.
That stuff costs money. And you have to pay the girls more to take their clothes off.
Not to be a wet blanket, but...
Another door?
I think there's enough murders. Like, because I think the violence in this movie
is
actually.
This is where I keep
of,
the mannequin heads.
I'm trying to make a point.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm just kidding. I think the violence in the movie is actually kind of upsetting, and it doesn't blend well with the lighter aspects of it. Am I alone in that?
Well, I don't.
What are the lighter
aspects? Yeah, I don't
know
that there are lighter aspects of it.
There's inept aspects.
I mean, like, it's
right.
Sleazy and funny, but like.
But not on purpose.
No.
No,
I don't,
but
I don't
know.
Think,
I just think, like, there's,
really?
There's some deaths, like, especially later in the movie, that are just kind of upsetting. And, like, I don't like looking at them. And
no,
I
mean, I agree that they're awful, but to me, that's what makes it. If you'll pardon the pun, all
another
of
door?
A piece.
Sure,
you know what
sure.
I mean? Like, it's just part of the movie. He's large. Here comes Kendall with the 4x4. Oh! Hey!
It's just like the scene in The Killing where the Russian wrestler takes care of all the cops
He's
as
like,
a distraction.
I'm gonna throw this wood at your shin and run away.
Well, that's it. That's it. Now make another face.
Yeah, you stand down for Governor Mike Pence.
This movie is kind of cool because it sort of tells the story about
cool.
Kendall trying to be a cop.
Yeah, oh, for
and
sure.
And I love that.
He's accepted so
by
quickly,
police,
though,
yeah.
Like as a cop.
We couldn't get real emergency medical
They just make him part of the
so
force.
So we brought Siegfried and Roy here. So
I do, I will say, I kind of laughed when they came in and I was like, oh, what's the joke that someone will make about like all the pieces and putting them on the gurney? But I don't know. The way that they're very slowly just, like, picking up one piece at a time, I was like, that's probably how they would do it. Like, that's Pieces, one moment of realism.
I don't want to wait for the coroner's opinion. I want your opinion.
He has no interest in the work of professionals. He's just like, Kendall, you're a cop. You, you're a coroner.
Yeah.
You, you're a tennis instructor.
Just everyone is just... He's like, oh, by the way, don't touch the evidence. But totally touch the evidence.
I love it when he says this. He's going to... No, don't.
Like, nobody stops him.
You just told me to look at it.
You could have destroyed some evidence. Mm. You might have gotten your fingerprints on there. No, you don't wipe them off your hand, dummy. I'm not a pathologist.
But I play
I just fucking said you were a pathologist. I'm Christopher George.
And this guy's a cop, and I'm God. And I keep wondering, the older man in the white jacket, that he's the contest winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The guy on the left right now is thinking about small government. Ooh, got a big piece there.
You know, if this film wanted to be more honest, because Christopher George does this movie is so honest. Christopher George does it at least five times. He should just turn to Mike Pence and say, we got to go where the murder isn't. Because they're constantly going from one place to another so that they won't be where the murder is, right. So that you can begin to think that maybe one of these two guys is the killer.
And there's so much time spent on, like, the investigation. Like, so much time.
You know what line I really love, Christopher?
Look at fucking Barb's posture.
Christopher George.
Dang, Napoleon.
Right? His fingers are out of frame. If they weren't, you would see them covered in Cheeto dust.
Christopher George repeats it about five times where he's yelling for the gray-haired guy to give him a lead. You gotta get me a lead! And I mean a lead in a film. Because I don't feel like I'm the lead in this one. I feel like I'm a supporting character.
It's so weird, too, that they spend all this time on, like, we're gonna have two cops.
Right.
And then there's no... It's like, no, there's only one. And then they bring it up again. I thought there was supposed to be two. Nope, just the one.
Well, you know what I thought?
Why not just rewrite those early scenes?
Well, that's what I thought it was. It was a rewrite that originally they thought they could afford to, and they shot that, and then they couldn't afford it, so they had to go back. Oh, just one. He's so delicate.
Pay attention also to Kendall's. Kendall seems like a smaller dude, but if you can, pay attention to the size of the heel on his boot. Because he's already kind of a small dude, but yeah, he's got giant lifts in his shoes.
As a small dude, I don't see a problem with that. So.
And once again, maybe you gentlemen can explain this. There's an envelope, it's marked urgent, and yet Barb took a half an hour to find Kendall. Why is that important? Because in the half an hour it took Barb to find Kendall, Kendall could have been killing someone. Why is it important that there was this time lag?
Here's one of the things that I love about Pieces, is that it's a movie that exists purely in the moment, which doesn't work for a mystery, because mysteries are all about...
The details pieces, matter.
Right, exactly. One thing leads to another, leads to another. But this movie exists only in the moment.
And I'm aggravated they didn't show the two women he fucked in that half hour. They couldn't find them.
And now the dean is going on and on. I won't have you using my office as a mailing address. But it was for the college. Where else are we going to send stuff?
He's trying to throw him off the scent.
One thing they don't show, it's in a deleted scene on the Blu-ray, though, is that Kendall's roommate is Wilt Chamberlain. And they have a chalkboard.
So right in this scene, like, Kendall
there's more
is...
text than Rey in The Force Awakens.
In this scene, Kendall is essentially a suspect, right?
Yes.
Like, one scene from now, he's...
He's the lead investigator.
Christopher George is new. He's calling the shots.
He's got the look of a cop.
Damn it,
though.
The mayor's breathing down my neck.
The original title of this was... The original title of this was Pieces, A New Hope. Could they have been making this up as they went along?
No. Also, everyone is constantly swearing everyone to secrecy, which is weird when you're, again, trying to solve a murder and keep people safe. They're like, don't tell anyone there's a murderer on campus. Mm-hmm. And everyone just goes along with it all the time. I love later when the dean is denying that anything's going. He's with the journalist is asking him. He's like, "No, I'm sorry, I'm very busy." Here we go. Now this is here just to set up that the one lady does aerobics.
Right.
Because although, it doesn't actually lead into the murder. There's a huge gap.
I thought the scene was here to tell us that the movie was made in the early 80s.
Perhaps, yes. For the same reason that the skateboarder goes through.
And there's the shot where he looks like Darkman. And proving that the movie student bodies knew what it was parroting, there are multiple things and pieces that are straight out of student bodies. So whenever I see the brown shoes
and student shuffling, bodies, I believe came first.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the heavy breathing. I immediately think horse head booking. There's all these
student bodies
horse head booking.
For the first 20 minutes, student bodies is so funny.
Yes.
And then it completely,
I agree,
wears out its welcome.
No, I just,
but the first,
just,
I love
it
this
loses
move.
It.
And also why not actually have them dancing? We have the sound down right now, but they're not, the track that is playing has nothing to do with the moves that they're doing. And in fact, this woman's eight counts change tempo constantly. So she's just constantly counting to eight, but they're not actually dance counts.
No, I know.
That's
no,
the problem with pieces, guys.
Another
you
door.
Know a lot about aerobics.
Yeah.
Another
yeah.
door.
I take that shit seriously.
I understand that horror films are trying to use suspense. And here we have some suspense. But I would like you to watch this, as I did. They're in a dance studio. She just went through a door, and now she's going down a hall.
I love this. I genuinely love that little dance that she's doing, though. Mm-hmm. I think.
And
it's
now
like
she's
such a,
going down some steps.
She's going to the bathroom.
And no, that's my point. And then another set of steps.
It's like the bathroom at the patio.
Exactly. Another. Oh, that's what I was thinking last night. And now another hallway. What building is this?
I do legit like this little dance that she's doing, though.
We have the horror movie bathroom, where you have to walk for 3 minutes with music to get there. And through another door, and it's just on your fake scare.
But!
And another door.
If I had to spare one victim in the movie, it would be this girl.
Oh, for sure.
And why is that?
I don't know. She seems like a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing that little dance.
She does seem like a doll.
Yeah. I'd like you to meet your new boss.
This kid's going to be there.
Once again, someone immediately just like giving up their credentials. He calls him Dog, and he's like, no, don't call me Dog.
No.
And then he says, call me
you're the doctor.
Young man.
This kid's going to be police commissioner by midnight.
Oh.
I think this would be a lot better if the subplot is that the Christopher George character is losing his mind. And not only is he assigning people other parts, but at various points in the movies. And I'm a pretty little girl.
Maybe he just needs to find, like, a new demon knight. And that's, like, a transference.
Yeah.
Thing.
So Kendall might be his new demon knight.
Exactly.
Kendall is played by Ian Sara. And I'm looking up
father of Michael Sara,
who I believe would go on to star on My Two Dads. I'm just kidding. I'm making a joke that he's all
right. He became the showrunner after a week.
The only other movie of much note that he's in a couple other movies, but the only other one he's really in of any note is Christina, the Jewel Shepherd movie. No? No one?
No.
All right, then.
No.
I take this shit seriously.
Linda Day George looks like Sarah Paxton's mom.
Linda Day George looks like my sisters had Barbie dolls when I was a kid, and sometimes I would take them and squeeze them at the top of the head so their faces would kind of smush together. And that's Linda Day George.
And at this point, wouldn't you think that two people who were married would have some sort of chemistry between them?
No, but she's got all the chemistry in the world with Kendall. Which is amazing.
Well, is something...
Some real White Palace shit going on.
Something I'd like to mention later, because he walks her home later and says, aren't you going to make coffee?
Yeah.
And she says, not tonight. Which implies there might be other nights.
And it's such a letdown, because they never make love.
No,
they
don't.
They were supposed to.
In the movie?
Linda Day George shit canned it. Oh. But she was supposed to have a love scene with Kendall.
Oh,
you're kidding. How do you know this?
Because I'm a fucking pieces expert, kid.
He put the pieces together.
How do you know that?
I know my pieces.
Will you answer my question?
I read it.
Why?
Fuck, does anyone know anything?
Well, like audio commentary, something like that. Why did she say no?
Standards? I don't know. She didn't want to be unfaithful to the cigarette? She's like, I only smoke one, man.
No. Might I argue, and this is just conjecture, she said no because if it's like every other woman in the film, they were asking her to do a nude scene.
Perhaps. Maybe she felt like she was debasing herself enough already by being in pieces. Here's the first appearance of the journalist.
Yes.
Who he immediately shoots down. Don't worry. That journalist will have sex with Kendall. And then be killed in what I think is the movie's best death scene.
You know what Christopher George should say right now? You're not a journalist.
You're a pirate.
Let me tell you about this boy, Kendall. I just met him today, but I think he's $1 million.
He's the best damn journalist ever.
I'm here to solve this murder, but I gotta tell you, this kid Kendall is pure dynamite.
I'd give my life for him. In fact, I plan to. Donating my heart to Kendall. I don't even know if he needs it.
I'm thinking about opening up a university, maybe naming it Kendall University.
Kendall College.
I think it'll stick.
That's the real tragedy of the ending of Pieces. Okay, so no one knew how to play tennis when they were cast in the movie.
Fault.
They Double had fault. To be trained to play tennis. Now, to be fair,
they had to be trained.
I don't think they were trained all that well, because neither one is very convincing, especially her, who's supposed to be like a former tennis pro. Yeah.
Which is in the first shot of the crowd, all of them are looking at something different. They're not synced with the ball.
What a weird piece of backstory that she's a former tennis pro.
Double fall. Footfall.
So that they could write in a tennis scene and then cast someone who doesn't play tennis. This movie is fucking great.
Is there journalism going on? There is now.
This is something I can write about. Footfall.
I brought my neck doily.
Double fall.
Headline. It's light in the daytime.
So the real tragedy of, spoilers, Kendall's what I assume is death, perhaps just castration at the end of the film, in what is the craziest ending to any movie ever.
Yes.
Well,
second.
Is to what?
Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, there's Hitchcock's cameo, by the way.
Maybe? I don't know. This one might even be crazier. Because at least Sleepaway Camp, as crazy as it is, at least you could be like, oh, okay, I guess I just didn't know she was a boy the whole time. But this is like, suddenly, there's zombies.
Right, but now at this point, we're playing the game of which shit smells worse.
Oh, yeah. But what I was going to say is, he's taken out at the end of the movie, which is unfortunate, because he was moments away from being made the new dean.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a long way to go for that fucking stupid observation.
We're quiet now because we're just marveling at the Dean's wardrobe. And Clemenza.
And so now we have the callback, right, to, weren't there supposed to be two of you? Yeah, but there's just one.
Well, okay. The characters have to be given small talk. Clemenza from Godfather.
A minimum of fuss.
Exactly. Minimum of Fuss sounds like a band what a plays British a cabaret metro
would say.
But none of those guys have quit their day jobs.
Bit of a dandy, the Dean.
We're going to go see Minimum of Fuss.
I saw Minimum of Fuss with Friend of Kendall.
It's now a legendary double bill at Cabaret Metro.
All right, we got some dead space here.
Yeah.
Sleepaway Camp, The Burning, Friday the 13th, Part 3, Maximum Overdrive, Halloween 3, Pieces. Rank them, go.
Okay.
Friday the 13th, Part 7.
What was the middle one again?
Who could say?
How many have we done?
I can't believe we've done that many.
Yeah, we're pretty fucking old, dude.
Like, how are we ranking them?
In terms of, like, enjoyment?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Sleepaway Camp and Halloween 3 are tied for the top for me.
Okay.
Wait, did we do The Burning?
Yeah.
The Burning's close. The Burning's really good.
I think Maximum Overdrive, we all approached it as the one that would be the most fun, but like the movie itself, it defeated us.
So here we have some shots again of, and we'll get back to the rankings here, some shots again of him having a really hard time getting the pieces in.
Oh yeah, there's one piece in particular. It's like he's gotta like punch it.
But when you've been doing the same puzzle for 40 years, you gotta put challenges in. I mean, like, otherwise, what fun is it?
That this is the piece.
But God, many of God the pieces are already together in the box. He's putting them together. Like, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's six at a time.
Isn't that cheating?
Yes.
Well, look, maybe that's
can't
why
even get it. Like, that's do the another one. Take, Juan Simón.
See, that's the one.
God damn it. Take the fucking gloves off. You're not killing anyone.
Wait, isn't
there dick shadows in life?
Are we coming up on...
Oh, yeah. Slow Blue.
No. We're back to my favorite girl.
If Alejandro Iñárritu directed this, he would probably win the Oscar.
100%. People would be like, it's about life. It's about the vitality. Which be like, somebody once said to me about Birdman, and I threw up in that person's face.
Like, I think Chivo shot this.
Like a bird.
If he directed this, he would go to a college that no one had ever been to and make them eat liver. Even though they were all vegetarian.
Oh, this is the scene where I got a splitter.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is she practicing the same routine?
Wait a minute.
It's getting better.
I can't even think because I'm hypnotized.
Did I just see what I thought I saw?
Her vagina?
Well, no. It's like her...
Lady vagina.
Her grooming was not up to the... Oh, God.
Just say you think she's attractive already.
No, that's not my point.
And what is your
point? When she was exercising...
Something about her bush.
She's working on her fitness.
Oh, and I think it's funny, if you have the
Kanye's
sound up,
workout plan?
How much sound is coming out of your little radio show thing.
Right, yeah.
And now we have to slow it down. We're going to slow down the pace.
How does he decide who to kill? There's no method, right?
Well,
no.
Whoever's close.
Okay. But he came back for this one. Because he was watching her earlier, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Here's my question.
So he decided early on?
He left because there was another person who showed up, right?
Aha.
He won't do two at a time.
Well,
which is crazy,
witness.
Because, like, he's got a chainsaw,
right?
So he's got a way of disposing of the other person, so...
You know, we were talking about this being a mystery, and a mystery relying on clues that you have to keep straight. Do the color of his shoes change?
I don't know.
At the beginning, they're brown.
You're watching this movie like a hawk, kid.
No, I'm not watching it like a hawk. What I'm saying is, if the clue is, it's the guy in the brown shoes...
Oh, yeah, Dean Brown shoes?
To a competent filmmaker. To a competent filmmaker, and then there's continuity involved, and it's the brown shoe guy, but now his shoes are black.
Let us also mention that we are watching this on the Grindhouse releasing Blu-ray, and it looks unbelievable because we are truly living in the best timeline right now, where Pieces gets like a 2K restoration and looks flawless.
And don't all of you get the feeling that everyone knows that the jig is soon to be up?
I see what you did there.
And we're getting...
Jig, puzzle.
And we're getting... And you mean you saw?
Oh! Damn it.
That someone knows... The days of physical media are numbered.
100%.
Just trying to put out as much as they can before.
But we are reaping the rewards.
Oh, no.
Last night I watched Chopping Mall on Blu-ray. Like, this is the greatest time ever.
Olive just put out they're putting out a signature series of extra special stuff.
Watched them.
And High Noon is 4K now.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The other one, Johnny Guitar looks great.
May
too.
May I help you?
Okay, here's a lesson in how to make a low-budget film.
Dick Shadow is fucking this girl's nose up because it looks like she has a booger, but it's just a Dick Shadow.
I believe what we're looking at here is a triumph of production design.
Watch it hide the chainsaw.
That is not really an elevator.
Hold on. Watch it.
That's a door with buttons on the side of it. And now watch how smooth this guy is.
Don't try this at home. Sideways so that she can clear... He hides a chainsaw behind his back. I fucking love pieces.
See? It's just lights. There is no real elevator involved here. It's all trickery.
They're fooling us with trickery. She doesn't figure out that he's going to murder her yet.
She's like, I thought you were going to the Shadow Midnight screening at the Union.
And then the blood is spraying in the wrong direction, too, which I like.
Sorry, I've been...
He cuts her arm off. The blood sprays down. Suddenly, yeah. In the close-up, it's shooting up at her face.
Better elevator kill sequence, this or Die Hard with a Vengeance?
This.
Okay.
Patrick,
you said... This is second only to Dress to Kill.
Patrick, you said the blood was spraying in the wrong direction, but of course, we don't know how fast that elevator's going.
Kendall, and of course, the rescue.
We just saw the motorcycle, which is going to be very important later.
He's like, other cops, follow me.
And there's this great, okay, so one of them pukes, right?
Oh.
Look at the lifts on his shoes, by the way.
This is one of
my favorite things. Oh, wow.
Beetle boots. No, I think I know what you're going to say. This is one of my favorite things.
He starts telling the cop who's puking, like, to go... call an ambulance. Yeah. Like, why don't you tell the one who's just fucking standing there, not throwing
up. Okay, so this guy blows junk. You, go use the phone.
There's another guy.
Yeah.
But he's worthless.
Also, Kendall, you're the civilian. You go call the lieutenant.
No. You send the guy with minty fresh breath to use the phone. What? Even I know that, and I'm not Kendall.
Kendall is the officer in charge at the scene.
There's the fake ambulance where they just rented a truck and wrote Boston Health Hospitals on the side of it with some tape. Yeah. That looks like a mail truck.
When Governor Pence walked by that ambulance, he was like, when I'm vice president, people will be able to choose their own doctors.
And it's like, Kendall who talks to him before the cops.
Well, he's like, shut up, patrolman, I need to talk to Kendall. Kendall, what happened here?
You're my number one guy. Yeah. How could you let this happen?
You know, it'd be funny if Christopher George tells him to put a guard on the girl for 24 hours, and now he's going to find out that she's dead. And Christopher George turns back to Mike Pence. I still want a guard on her.
But she is technically still alive, right? So we're not wrong. Like, if we said we were going to spare one person, he says, like, she's not going to make it.
Right.
But she's not dead yet.
True.
Hi, I just came down so you could suspect me again.
Wait, she's not dead yet, but they put the sheet over her face on
apparently,
the gurney?
Yeah.
The doctor says that she's not going to make it.
We don't want to spare you the embarrassment.
Oh, I think we're getting very close to the
suspect.
He
should just be like, did I do that?
Who? Who knew?
Ew.
Thor, what's happening?
Kendall, I want you to put out an APB. He's like, I'm just a civilian.
This is where he just gave him more authority.
Yeah.
Listen, Kendall, I'm gonna give you the breakdown here before I talk to the cops. I shouldn't be asking you this, but will you marry me?
And Pence's like, no.
Here it is. This is my favorite shot in the whole film. We're going to have the cutaway in just a second. Christopher George looks up.
It is legit fantastic.
Look. Oh, you're missing it. Do your job, pal. Get me a lead.
And a match.
He's going to turn and greatest shot in the whole film.
Right?
The suspect.
Look at that.
Who
and
is
that
it?
Dude in the background? I wish it had been that guy.
It's like we're playing Clue.
Right to Kendall, crushing ass.
Now. That's the journalist, right?
Correct.
Okay. I was unsure about that. And there's little Kendall.
Hey now.
Or as we call him, Dick Shadow.
Oh boy.
Later to be known as Mark Lynn Baker. They should do like a single white female movie, those two.
When I was younger, I worked for your show of shows. It was my favorite year.
I do like the Friday the 13th poster hanging in the background.
Yes.
Because this movie outdoes Friday the 13th for stupid ending that makes no sense.
Also, it's because that's the 13th girl he's banging this Friday.
We're coming up on the greatest scene in the movie.
And like I said, when I was watching this, I was like,
What the hell?
Yeah.
It broke me.
Like we couldn't get over it the first time we saw it.
You know, think about it. Horror films trade in false scares. I would rank this up with the scene in Blazing Saddles when they're doing the musical number and the cowboys break through the wall. The fake scare in this is that we're interrupted by a whole other movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the deal is the producer, Dick Randall, who made a bunch of exploitation movies and stuff, I guess had produced a couple of, like, Bruce exploitation movies, like fake Bruce Lee movies, and so just wanted to include that. Just like, well, I got this guy who I believe was billed in his other movies as Bruce Lee, just L-E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee?
Right.
There was Bruce another Lee. Guy who went by Bruce Lee, L-I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And it just...
It's the greatest thing.
It's so unlike anything else in any film ever made.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you're on Peace's wavelength. Now you understand why I love this special movie. Dun, 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 dun. And he beats the shit out of her. Until she... kicks him in the dick. So when you saw this scene, did you understand why in my email I said, like, we'll have chop suey?
Yes. Although I thought you were actually asking for a specific food.
Nope.
And there's the motorbike that sounds just like a chainsaw.
Did you make a chop suey joke?
In the email I said, I liked the motorbike sounding like the chainsaw.
Right.
Until they called attention to it. And she's like, your bike sounds like a chainsaw. And then I was like, well, that kind of ruins it because I... thought it was kind of neat before that.
And this is my favorite line of dialogue. My kung fu professor, because that's a thing.
No, somebody help me.
With what?
What is he saying there? The bad chop suey knocked him on the ground? The bad chop suey possessed him and made him fight the woman?
I thought...
What is he...
I thought it possessed him. It possessed him.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, I misinterpreted that. I thought instead of admitting that she kicked him and he went down, that he got sick and went down.
This is a thing. Like, have you ever tried campus chop suey? It's never good.
Boston, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You want some fucking chop suey, kid? And some strawberry quick?
On the U of I campus.
You want a Deepwater Horizon toy?
Give me those eyes.
Give me those eyes.
On the U of I campus, there was a place called
Home of Gourmet. These motherfuckers are heroes, yo.
Home of Gourmet. And it's still there.
The Kung Fu professor is one of the most offensive Asian stereotypes I've seen in a movie in a long time.
There's that heavy breathing. And of course, in Mike Pence's world, journalists must die.
Is this where she gets it? It must be, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
I watched this yesterday.
I watched a lot of this today, and I don't remember.
Guys, is she doing the walk of shame right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Except she's got nothing to be ashamed about. She's got the stink of Kendall on her.
She's like, I ain't showering this shit off, bro.
After the band Friend of Kendall broke up, two of the guys, the drummer and the bass player, formed Stink of Kendall.
It's like a front page on the paper tomorrow. Who fucked Kendall, yo? And it's a picture of her with her thumbs pointed at her.
It's a very small paper. It's got a very local news.
Yeah. It's like the Friday section insert.
Again, this is one of an example of the movie only being
concerned. Is that Kendall's dick?
That's a dick shadow right there. We're only concerned with the moment, because what is it that she's doing? Like, do you know what I mean? She's just walking around very slowly, looking around, like waiting to be stalked and killed.
No, Patrick, it's dreamlike.
Well, right. Is she trying to find information? I mean, ultimately, she's just getting closer to a waterbed because Juan Simone was like, I killed the lady by waterbed.
Again, the doors. You see all the doors? Lots of doors.
Because it's about possibilities. Mm-hmm. Each door represents a possibility. And pieces is a movie about possibility. The possibility that a dead body will come up and rip your dick off.
Spoiler.
The possibility that you'll be a college student today
and a police officer tomorrow.
Now, district attorney tomorrow.
Is that like the room where it's really hot?
The sauna?
Sauna.
Was that a sauna?
The hot room.
I thought they were going to do something with that.
Why does he dispense with the chainsaw just for this kill and go knife?
Because if you use the chainsaw on a waterbed, might the water extinguish the motor?
I don't know.
I've never gotten a chainsaw wet. So I don't know. Plus, when she was first walking across the room, I didn't realize that was a waterbed at first. And of course, if you remember, we have foreshadowing for that moment.
Dick shadowing.
Because at the beginning of the film, those crazy oversexed.
Oh yeah, like all I'm gonna do is get high and fuck on a waterbed.
Talking about waterbed. Yeah.
Come on though. I mean, as gratuitous as it is, like, because there's no reason for there to be a waterbed except maybe Kendall's like never more than 100 feet away from a waterbed.
I thought I was wet earlier.
It's awesome. I mean, this is awesome. And again, the most sort of Italian of all of the scenes in the movie, which is very influenced by, again, American slasher movies and Italian horror. And this is like right out of an Argento movie.
And then there we have this, this next moment is clearly that's improvised. Awesome. I gotta turn you over
right
for the next special effects shot, Missy. Just you put your head right there so we can cut to
the knife that. Going sideways. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
That's actually how they make Ocean Spray.
I actually wondered how she was holding her breath during that, but you can kind of see.
She's dead.
Oh, this is the thing. Where
this is such a cock tease.
Not tonight, Kendall, but I'm leaving the
sooner
door
or later
open.
Everyone has sex with Kendall.
She's just like, honey, patience. What could biologically go wrong between either
of us? Aren't you making coffee? Another time. And then again, there's another door. Here's a fun game you can play when the movie gets boring.
All right.
Count the number of doors in the film. Ooh. My lovely wife has just set down orange Oreos for Halloween. And did you guys just see that mask?
Yes.
I wish we could pause it, but we can't.
No.
When I was in college, year, I bought that mask, that exact mask, to wear at Halloween.
Were you going as a character from Pieces?
No, even with the eye. I mean...
Were you going as
and what year
friend?
Did this come out?
82.
That was the year I bought that mask.
Well, there you go.
I'm not joking.
I believe you.
There's another door.
Why would you be joking? Who would be laughing?
Well, no one so far.
Hey, now. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I had the wrong reaction, you guys.
let's try that again.
Let's pretend I said what you guys said.
Hey, yo!
Finish the fucking puzzle. Seriously. How does he decide? Like, no, not too much tonight.
You know, what would be funny?
This time, I'll do the bush first.
Why is he talking like Boris Karloff?
Because he does talk like that in this movie.
Wouldn't it be funny if every time they show him building the puzzle...
Tennis for one.
I know every crevice of her armpit.
If every time they showed him building the puzzle, it was just the pink background area and not the naked woman just working on that part.
She looks like Mia Thermopolis from The Princess Diaries. Too deep of a cut, guys?
All right. No, I got it.
Okay, good.
So we're coming up. We're not eating Halloween Oreos, everyone. That's why we're eating. We're coming up on...
Okay, zoom into the door.
I think the most notorious kill in the movie.
And by that you mean?
I'll tell you.
I think I know what you're talking about if I'm remembering this one correctly.
Yeah. I miss Doug.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I had tweeted out from the F This Movie account, hey, we're recording our annual Scary Movie Month commentary tonight. It's exactly what you think it is. And of course, that has a double meaning. One, because I basically said a long time ago, oh, it's going to be Pieces. And two, because that was the tagline for this movie, Pieces. It's exactly what you think it is. But someone wrote back, Wishmaster?
No.
So now I'm sorry that we're not doing Wishmaster.
I would never talk over that great movie.
So yeah, this is kind of the most notorious kill in the movie, followed by one of the movie's most famous scenes.
Shit, I'm not even wearing the Wishmaster ring.
What the hell? What are you thinking?
Why is this notorious?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Extra bushy.
There's Dean Brown Shoes.
I think I know.
What kind of underwear is he wearing? It's like a bunch of bandages.
I believe they're not.
Did you say you? Everyone knows that he's the Dean right before he kills them. So one story goes that in a second we're going to have a cutaway to her peeing herself.
Yeah.
One story goes that that's real because they were using a real chainsaw and she did get completely freaked out. Now, I don't know if I buy it because why did they have one camera? Like, why was the B camera just on her vagina?
Because the director's a pervert.
Maybe. But the cutaway of the chainsaw going through her stomach here was done by cutting a chainsaw into a pig carcass. Real animal entrails and real animal blood was used for a lot of the gore in the movie. Because them Spaniards be crazy. So there's the pee, supposedly that's real. I have a hard time believing that.
Maybe she's just kind of excited because Kendall's on his way.
Just soaking right through her pants.
Yeah.
That's not pee.
Okay, so here we go. Oh, that's a pig carcass right there.
Yeah.
And then again, blood spraying from every direction.
He's long.
They're like, don't look at the camera, sorry.
Go back, do it again. Oh, and Paul, you get to keep your wardrobe.
He's just wearing a blue tarp. I will say, at one point in this scene, somebody says, like, can you turn that music off? It's making me fucking nuts. And I'm like, yeah, no, it is making me nuts. But then she punishes herself for it because she's like mad that the girl was being murdered while she was messing around with the music.
But that's another example of what you were talking about before, that
the movie's made up moment to moment.
Yeah, that there's supposed to be details that are clues, but suddenly there's this loud music playing and right. We have to turn it down.
Right.
Every time people call a turn away, Paul Smith looks angry because he's not being paid enough.
He has one eye open the whole movie, too. And he's large. There it is. Yeah, the music's driving me nuts.
Now, another detail. There's another door, by the way. Paul Smith makes a big deal out of the fact that these aren't his keys. Is the idea that the killer has his keys? So that's why the killer was able to get in there? Or is it, again, just this extraneous detail that means
nothing?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't... Would anyone have questioned the Dean having keys to places?
Again, it's like... Either this was translated from another language...
Which it was.
Is that one of the perks of being a Dean?
Go.
You just get keys to everything?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you'd have a key guy.
These aren't my keys. Or are they allowing the actors to make up their own dialogue and someone stole Paul Smith's keys?
There is an alternate Spanish version of the movie on this disc. We are, of course, talking over the American version. These clothes are flattering for everyone. The Spanish language version, I believe, has some additional footage, but I don't think any of it is, like, the good stuff. I think it's just more dialogue.
Wow. In the Spanish version, there's a whole 20-minute segment about the keys.
And tapas.
And Professor Chow. Hey, now! Oh, so, yeah, that's like real pig guts and blood and stuff.
But I thought that's what you meant before, because that one image...
Yeah, it's a pretty famous image.
It works.
And now we're coming up on maybe the most famous scene in the movie.
Here, kids, say it with us.
Three times.
Faster.
One.
Bastard.
Two. And. There it is.
It's so perfect that they just cut right away after that.
They cut away to a bastard.
I love to. He cut that girl in half while she was still alive. Like, maybe for part of it. Yeah. But who are we kidding?
This is the police lieutenant who's never heard of shock.
His time is any to ask, who's Mike Pence?
No, I love when he says that this guy should take drugs to stay away.
Yeah, take some uppers.
You know, cops do that all the time.
It was 1982. Mm-hmm. Remember that kid, Kendall? You know, the one who's like a son to me?
He's like, the wunderkind? Yeah, how do I forget?
That kid's clean. I have licked every inch of that kid. He's clean.
You know the kid who makes you feel better about yourself just by being around? Do you know the kid I'm talking about?
Have you tried his chicken parmesan yet? It's haunting.
You know, when you start to doubt the meaning of life and you meet a kid, you think it's an ordinary kid, but it turns out to be an extraordinary kid. I'm talking about that kind of kid. That kind of kid is Kendall.
He lights up a room. You know what I'm talking about. You can wear my mother's shoes. Oh, you're the wrong size. I need new feet.
This little pig went to the market. This little pig went to the dormitory.
You don't want to do another take where the shoe stays on? No, you're good? All right, then. All right. See, and we go from the dead legs right to these legs.
And of course.
So we're supposed to be like, oh, those are going to be the next legs.
And in fact, you are correct. It is a clumsy, awful attempt at foreshadowing.
You mispronounced.
Dick brilliant. And dick shadowing.
I'm on my way to my other job at Joseph A. Bank.
Do you think boys think less of you if you let yourself be kissed on the first date?
You heard about this Kendall boy? He's all the rage on campus.
He says something about a campus this size. Yeah. This campus seems like it's the size of one building.
There's one five large people building on campus. One mirror truck.
Now, at this point...
Classes, pish-posh, not at our university.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Does anyone go to class? No. Well, we know there's kung fu class.
Oh, yeah.
And we know there's tennis class.
At this point in the film,
Kendall.
It's a physical education college. At this point in the film, does anyone still think it's the professor? Does anyone watching this still
Professor
think
Brown? I wouldn't rule him out. I will say...
I just can't help loving Kendall.
I'm a fan of the movie because it's so crazy and it's so its own thing. But it gets pretty boring from now until yeah. that crazy ending. Like this long section of her in the dean's office and all that stuff is like pretty boring. Although I will say Robert Zemeckis did rip it off for What Lies Beneath.
And we're not there yet.
Pence has a picture of Reagan up in his office. I love that they're like, how do we suggest this is Boston? Put up a picture of Reagan.
Also,
why won't Pence shut one of those drawers when he's done with
know.
It?
I don't know.
Leave them open.
To very unconvincingly suggest that this is not shot in a foreign country. In just a second, they're going to be glomming on some Wendy's.
Here, Kendall, these are your case files.
Which is very odd. It's like Wendy's has a product placement in a shitty slasher film.
Yeah. They might just not have cleared it. That would be my guess.
But here's what I'm
saying. Juan Simone's theory is it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That we've been talking about this all the way through the film, that the dean is going to drug her.
Right.
And doesn't do it well enough the first time, so he has to go back and do it again.
Now, how do you leave that in the film? Drug drops in a cup. She drinks it. She's out. It's
the same reason you should be cutting from the girl in the clothes to the girl in her swimsuit. We don't actually have to watch right. her.
I'm going to show someone drug someone in real time. And this is the way it is. Sometimes you have to do it more than once because I've done it. Okay? Once it took three times.
How do you think I got Linda Day George in this movie? She was on Mission Impossible, for fuck's sake.
This is how I got Linda Day George to sign the contract. And to volunteer her husband.
Do you think those case files they gave Kendall are like for Zodiac and Jake the Ripper and stuff? They're like, give him the tough stuff.
Here's the thing. The reason he shows up here is because he fucking solved those cases already.
Oh my goodness.
He found
this fall on CBS, Kendall.
Have I pointed out yet the number of doors?
I'm not sure if you have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Remember how everybody in
over
the
here
80s,
is my puzzle collection.
Remember how everyone in the 80s had wallpaper?
Yes.
And when the dean goes back into that little kitchen, it's nuts. Who's your decorator?
He just said, I'm sure you'd prefer coffee, which of course, is, as we know, is code for sex.
Well, we established that with Kendall.
Exactly.
Ah, Kendall.
What do you guys think he's doing right now?
He's like, venti.
Well, no, in the reality of the
tall,
film...
Tall, grande, or venti? Venti!
No.
Venti, Kendall!
In the reality of the film, you know what the Kendall character is doing right now. He's fucking Mug Pence. Yeah. That's why they're having the Wendy's. Because
you fuck having... Dave Thomas.
And I'm not drugging you in here. I'm just making you some coffee.
Is that what you do after sex? You eat Wendy's with each other? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I always went to IHOP. And then you high-five the person. It's a good night.
So at this point, we think it's the dean, right, everyone?
Did I point out the wallpaper?
Yeah.
And what's the body part he's trying to get from Linda Day?
Legs or feet. Oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the other ones didn't fit the shoes. Oh, that makes a kind of sense.
Yeah.
This movie's brilliant.
See how brilliant. All the pieces fit together?
Oh. I'm sorry it took so long, but I had to put a drug into one of the cups. That sound you're hearing is us taking cookies out of a very loud package.
I love the cream.
Just
that's
as
what she told Kendall.
Yeah, I know.
Well, of course, this is New England reminder. We're in fucking Boston, kid.
That kid's a real clam chowder.
Fucking Johnny Newman. Speaking of loud packages, where is Kendall?
Before you came up here, did you park the car? Yes, I parked the car in the yard. I hate to ask questions like this, but what do you think of Kendall?
Not enough poison yet.
Yeah.
Asking too many questions.
Okay, I'll just go freshen up that poison for you. Also,
these are bitter grounds.
Linda Day is properly drugged. She's given this really hard thing to do, or maybe it's
like
just
the weird
star in pieces
that she's not capable of, that she's rendered immobile.
Why did I put the poison away?
Mission Impossible, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. More poison. Yeah, okay, put it all in.
Up.
And this is where D.B. Cooper is.
Tell me, kid, you ever put your dick in a Frosty?
Pence 2016.
Notice at this point that the clue was that a staff member changed his name. That's the clue.
And Christopher George doesn't even figure it out.
That's the clue that broke the case.
It's Kent's, forget it. That's their shipper name. their Hiddle Swift, if you will. Hashtag Kents. Mm-hmm. It's gonna catch on. It's Scary Movie Month for fuck's sake.
Pence turns around, Kendall's back in the records, and Kendall announces he's just figured out who assassinated Kennedy.
I fucking found Amelia Earhart, Pence!
Who's also from Boston, so yeah. It ties the whole thing together. Yeah.
She was all, oh fuck, my plane is fucking crashing.
Kendall, that was someone on the phone. They wanted to know what you were wearing.
I'm upset that it took Kendall that many drinks to finish a Wendy's small. He's constantly taking hits off that thing. It should be gone already.
Kendall. Yeah, motherfucker, save us the flavor.
I like how he changes his instructions like 3 times here.
Right?
Suddenly, because none of the other clues.
Come on, Kendall, real. I need you. Like, no, you don't. You have all the information. Well, no.
He doesn't need it for the case.
We all need Kendall.
He needs him emotionally.
We all do.
He needs him emotionally in his life. More poison.
Have you ever been having, like, a really bad
day? That's funny. My wife doesn't drink 2 cups of poison at home.
And then you just think about Kendall.
I'm now going to tell you the intimate secrets of our faculty to throw you off the scent.
When that boy graduates, I don't know what we'll do.
I've heard a rumor that Kendall has a brother. Do you know anything about that?
Crandall?
But Crandall's like the worst. He's Kendall just like with thick glasses and just a horrible attitude.
He's
just...
Barb's Barb.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. A zombie actually puts a dick on him.
So then we can have the sequel, Pieces 2, Friend of Crandall.
Oh, Kendall, thank God you're here. Oh, no, it's Crandall.
Womp, womp, womp. They use that sound effect a lot in the sequel.
Amelia Earhart's lost.
Don't drink
again.
That coffee. It's poison. Womp, Crandall. Womp, womp.
And there's all these zoom-ins to Crandall saying, did I do that?
Yeah. Are we just describing his friend?
You sure you want those feet, Dean? They're fat. Crandall.
Here's that break in the college case. I know you were working on the college case, but Kendall cracked it.
Right? Of course he did.
I'm going to need my suit coat and my other coat.
Oh, yes.
Well, you do have to watch the
something
office.
He's never done before.
Well, now it's his office.
Oh, that's true,
see.
Yeah.
You don't shit where you live.
I forgot. That road really ties the room together.
Look, we missed it. Linda Day had this look on her face as he was touching her feet. Like, she's not acting. She's like,
oh, God. Because those aren't Kendall's hands on there.
This is really making me
uncomfortable. Dean Brown shoes. By the way, have we called Edwell Kendall, I guess, is the only one we've called by his actual name this entire commentary. No chainsaw for the office, Dean?
You know how you said her, that she looks like a Barbie that's smushed?
I might have said something like that, yeah. I say a lot of things.
Kendall.
Kendall.
Nice. Are you doing Beach Boys?
No, like Twilight Zone. Like
Twilight Zone Beach Boys.
Adam Risky just sent us into the Twilight Zone.
Mm.
You'd make a good cop, kid, and a good best friend, and a good lover.
And immediately, he's like, no, 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 come on. And they're like, all right.
Let's solve this case, then we'll go to fucking Chili's, okay, kid?
I just had Wendy's.
They're all over Boston, where we are. Yeah.
Might I point out another door?
You don't push Kendall like that. Man of action.
Also, in just a minute, Christopher George, he opens the door, doesn't really even, when he comes in on the dean finally, he doesn't even say, like, drop it or free. He just shoots him in the head. First thing he does. Just shoots him right in the head.
So, even though they don't realize
the cleanest headshot in history,
Linda Day is using her eyes
to
clue them in.
She's all like, oil can.
Right, because he said it would immobilize her, but why can't she talk? Is that part Kendall of the immobilization?
She's just in shock because she thinks Kendall's
going to propose. Kendall, see if you can walk around. By the way, he does. He's a fucking miracle worker.
She's in shock because Kendall, she thinks Kendall's going to propose. Kendall,
turn this water into wine. He's proposing? I've suddenly gone limp. Over there, over there.
He keeps saying, come on, Mary. A bit of foreshadowing.
There you go. Experience the healing power of Kendall.
Yeah, right.
Come on. Let it flow through you.
She was faking it. Oh, fuck, Crandall.
Make me some coffee.
He's behind the curtain.
Did anyone bring me a frosty?
Damn it, Crandall. I almost had them.
The touch, the feel of Kendall, the fabric of
human cigarette. Christopher George kicks the door in and just right away shoots him in the head. And I guess because he saw that Kendall was in danger.
By the way, Kendall's fucking him, right?
You call that a knife? I've got a knife.
Very strange.
All right, here we go.
Okay, now you get on top.
We're in the last few moments of this fucking nutty movie.
Christopher George also kind of looks like Jeffrey Wells from Hollywood Elsewhere.
Yeah, he kind of does, actually.
Yeah.
And in that if shot, we're lucky, Jeffrey Wells looks like Gregory Peck. Well, not anymore. Fate.
He looks like Gregory Peck a lot in this movie, actually.
Yeah.
Boom. I wanted to keep calling Atticus. And this other cop all of a sudden is on the scene.
You got a lot to learn from this kid, Kendall.
The guy in the suit is a contest winner.
You okay, Kendall? Not worried about his colleague in the slightest. He goes right to Kendall.
Wouldn't it be great?
This movie's kind of like anything? This movie's kind of like Training Day a little bit.
She's gonna be all right, but let's focus on Kendall. Okay, what else can I shoot?
I like the last shot of this movie where he just puts his dick in front of a mirror. He's like, I'm a star, I'm a star, I'm a star. I'm a bright, shining star.
But then a zombie grabs it.
Yeah, that's true. Crandall!
Womp, womp, womp. Yeah.
I like how Crandall's become like the Berwyn joke.
I will say,
that is clearly the worst thing that will happen tonight.
Thank goodness our nightmare is completely over.
Nothing worse could ever happen. This is the end.
For as ridiculous as, not the reaching up, now she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
For as ridiculous as the reaching up is, like, I can't defend that because it's fucking nuts. But the beat right before that where they say something about, like, there's probably all kinds of surprises. And the body falls out. I think that works. Like, I think that's a good jump scare. I think it finally reveals, like, here's what he's doing.
No, I thought that too.
And if the movie could have ended like that, I think it would be a master.
Right there.
But why does it have to fall out of the dress the way nothing would? Frank and Mom!
Because everyone wants Kendall. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
It would be great if she came to life. She kind of does, actually.
She 100% does.
Whoa!
So in this this body that's been stitched together, yeah, it does look like that.
Thank you.
What we just saw,
yeah.
What victim's head is that?
Did he kill a blonde?
I mean, obviously the other pieces could be anybody, but whose head is that?
Journalist?
No, that's a different.
Could it be the skateboard girl?
Her hair wasn't that long.
Who gets their head cut off?
Oh, Skateboard girl. Yeah, she does. Yeah, so it must be hers. All right. See?
Jacket. The lesson, kids, never grab your jacket.
Ha ha. Oh, Crandall.
Jeez.
Ho! Oh!
That's like cutting off Michael Jordan's arms.
There we can never explain that, right? I mean, Friday the 13th had, like, such a stupid ending because a character who wasn't a character pops out of the water and grabs
Alice. Someone you never could have guessed it in a million years, because...
But then this, I think, outdoes it.
Well,
for
it's
sheer
this,
lunacy.
Wouldn't you agree that between Carrie and Friday the 13th, we want that last
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because they clearly in the film don't care about anything to do with movie or reality or sense, there could be anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we need that final little jump scare.
But wasn't the body falling out, like...
I thought that was a
jump
good
scare
one.
Enough.
And
yeah.
wouldn't that have been the one to end on?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because then it Hilda fucks. We lost a few seconds there.
Did we lose Hilda Fox?
So I guess
spectacular film? Not really.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Any last words?
No.
Adam, any last words?
Happy Scary Movie Month, everyone.
Jay Bones, any last words?
Happy Halloween. Don't look under your bed.
Crandall, last words? Halloween's for losers. Crandall.
Crandall likes Valentine's Day.